So I have the great pleasure and privilege of introducing to you Kelly Nazat. Kelly is, like me, from the Deep South. I hide it sometimes. As my ex-husband used to say, when you're really happy, when you're really mad, or you're really drunk, boy, do you sound like you're from the South. And I said, and what's your problem with that? Kelly is from Louisiana, like half of my people, and he also is hanging out in North Haven and New Haven area these days with his wife and family. He is a therapist. He's also studied about everything there is to study. He's also a shaman, and he has been putting together a great bridge for the ancient and the modern. He has been researching for a long time how we might integrate better these things that we all need in our life to connect and complete and to create wholeness. He has a new project he'd like to talk to you about, Soul Lab, and a lot of other things. So I'll shut up. Kelly.
Thank you, Jhonti. Good morning, everyone. Is this a good spot? Could I stand off to the side? Good. Good morning. My name is Kelly Nazat, and I'm so excited to be here. It's incredible to see people come together around things that are near and dear to my heart, and to learn from each other. That's pretty much the total of Soul Lab. So have a good day. thank you, Jhonti, for inviting me. This is an incredible honor. So today, what I would love to talk to you about is a project I'm working on called Soul Lab. And it's come from 30 years of private practice, and it's come from working with many different traditions, different systems, different practices. And at first, and sort of central to the work itself, is a way for therapists and practitioners, whether they're healers or psychotherapists or social workers or even in the corporate sector, a way for them to be able to track their clients' experience in an alchemical way. And so that's sort of the heart of what this is all about for me. I think at this time, we're all becoming aware of the need for all of us to come together. We do come together. We've been doing conferences for forever, right? But there is something pretty special about the times we're in. And it seems in certain ways we're moving past this postmodernist sort of siloed, everyone in their own little caves and everyone doing their own little practices, to something emerging where we're coming together across systems, across platforms. And that's something to me is central to my work. Everything that I practice for 32 years has built and built and built. And it's built on the legacy and the hard work of medicine women, of my clinicians, or whoever I'm working with. They've done a lot of hard work, and their legacy and their repository, to some degree, resides inside of me in this funky admixture called Kelly. I offer as much of the wisdom that I've been given and that has been shared with me to make a difference in my work with others, and I do it as well as I can, but it's my way. It's a very personal way of approaching it, right? So when Jhonti invited me here and she said it's about possibilities, it's so central to where we are. And so I looked at the Latin root for possibility, because that's kind of one of the things I do. And it is, can we move this? Maybe it won't move. Let's see. Oops, I may have to do it here. It's not moving. Let me try it here. There we go. Posse. To be capable is the Latin root, that's the equivalent. And it takes a posse of committed folks, right? And that's something we're seeing. We are moving outside of, thank you for having me. We're moving outside of this world where we are in these fractious, isolated chunks of well-intentioned healers and therapists and the rest, doing the best we can in the world and having a place somewhere in our fields, you know, whether it's paraprofessional or somewhat professional or fully integrated into therapeutic professions. We are, in many ways, I would assume all of you do consider yourselves pioneers. How many of you would consider yourselves pioneers in this work, whatever this work might be? Good. And how many of you have been doing this work for more than 10 years? Good. Okay, and how many of you would say you have a very eclectic practice? Good, I'm in the right room. Good. Okay, so I just had to check off some boxes here. Okay, so we're all friends, we're all peers, we're all brothers and sisters in this. And in that way, we are all pioneers. We are all, you want to try? Oh, you got it. It's got stuck. Oh, that's okay. I'm good with that. That works perfectly. So we're all in this together. We're all making our way through. And we've done incredible things and we've made incredible strides. But certainly one of the things that I hear the most from therapists that I work with is this sense of isolation. Whether they're in a clinical practice or whether they're in a private practice, they feel like they don't have the time, the energy, or the wherewithal to reach out to others to develop themselves further. And that's one of the things we're looking at curing with SoulLab. Let me go to the next one here. So it's time to come together. So I've been in practice for over 30 years, and this is something that has developed over time. When I was in graduate school for clinical psychology, rather than doing clinical work, I was doing my alchemical work, which was my love, the metaphysical, the mystical, the energetic, which is where I started 30-something years ago. My goal with all of this work was not, when I was younger, I thought it was to legitimize our practice, what we're doing, who we are. And the medicine woman I worked with 30-something years ago said, "What, are you crazy? Just be you. It's just you and another person, and that's really the sacred contract we make." But there was a long path I had to go through in terms of developing myself as an individual and as a professional. But it took a long time to burn away this notion that I had to be something other than myself and that I needed to be or appear or to put a name forward for what I do with my many clients that is something other than my unique practice with my clients. So I think we're moving into this place where it is very, very safe to be who you are, to be unique in who you are, to live your truth without any need for a title to come before or a title to come after. We are really here for each other, and we're here for ourselves, we're here for our families, but we're here for the bigger collective as well. And that's something we're looking at supporting. So when I was in school, this is Carl Jung's, my hero from a long time. I love him for very many reasons. One of them is that he was a renegade. He was a very, very prolific, very wise man. But he studied world mythology. He looked at all the mystical traditions. He was looking at energy healing way back in the 20s, and I would assume before that. But he came up with these four basic parts of our nature. And you'll see them again and again as this model represents that I'll show you briefly. These four elements, no matter who you are, what you practice, what you do, they show up. Why is that significant? Why is it significant that if I see your process and I can see the alchemy of it, if it is a truly a true process, that we can find this shared process of alchemy? Fire, water, earth, and air, burning away, washing away, building up and growing. It shows up everywhere. It shows up in astrology. It shows up in research methodology. It shows up everywhere. And every model I've looked at, it's like a, you can see it in a sort of Rosetta Stone. And we're looking at this point, where do we come together? Because if we can find a place where we come together, all of us can be around the circle. Very wonderfully feminine concept, right? We all come together with our uniqueness intact, with our genius intact, honored for who and what we bring in, yet part of something greater, like pixels, right? Creating a larger mystery, God between that starts to emerge. When we can hold space for each other and honor who we are, what we're bringing, magic happens. So the four fundamental elements that we need to consider in this model are spirit, and the alchemy would be considered fire, right? That fiery spirit. The heart, which would be considered the water realm, the what's beneath the surface, the watery emotional body, right? And then we have the earth realm, which is the body. And we have the air realm that represents the mind, the cognitive, the thinking, the relational, the communications that we have with each other, building knowledge, and the rest of that. So I'm contending with a world of clinicians, of clinical psychology, with incredible developmental theorists and incredible developmental theories. Yet I'm having a very hard time synthesizing, right? The dialectics was not happening. I felt like I was having to hide who I was simply to develop into a clinician. But that's not my style. I couldn't do that very well, and that became apparent. However, what I was looking at is how does who I am and what I am work with what I understood the psychological models all the clinicians and theorists were talking about. And so, like all good theories or all good ideas that come forward, I had a big dream in the end of my second year of my program. And it was a very challenging point for me because I was being asked to start to prepare my dissertation concept. And I knew what it was, but I didn't know how to present that to everyone else. And in this dream, it was a gorgeous dream. It was a very, very simple dream in some ways. I was circumambulating. I was moving around this giant crystal structure, right? And it was beautiful. And in the field, I'd love to share. I wish I could put that on here. In the field there, around this crystalline structure, was this labyrinth. It was multidimensional, but like curtains of crystalline labyrinth fields. Heaven. And so I'm bathing in that, and I'm coming home again. I had been so far from home, from my place, for a long time to pay my dues, to learn what I needed to learn, to become indoctrinated, to develop myself, that I had developed chronic fatigue. I had hundreds and hundreds of clients, and I was doing a full-time PhD program, and I was outside of my center looking back at myself and getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And there was no one there to help me. I went from golden child, this guy's got some great ideas, he knows psychology, it's good, to being a bit of a outsider. I think the term my advisor said was I was taking the road less traveled. I didn't take it as a positive thing either. So, but that's okay, because there's something that has all of us that is bigger than us. Our ego selves is very much that fire self, that part of us that's future-oriented, that really wants to achieve in the world, that has a vision somewhere in there, burning through or way out there, is a vision to create in the world and to grow spiritually, right? I had that, it had me. You know, you have, our ideal is to take our vision out into the world and create that vision, but I believe it's the opposite. I believe that vision has you more than you have it. And our job is to just simply get out of the way and let it come through. And so part of the work here is, you know, we're looking at how do we make a generative space for everyone to come together in a way where you feel safe and heard and held and a part of something bigger, because we need a bigger story to emerge. The menagerie approach to healing must concede to a field of intelligence that is bringing us all together all the time. And so there is this sort of merging, right? But these are the four elements that when we gather around them, we have something special. So this is an alchemy. This is the four elements. You have fire here with the arrow pointing up. You have earth here with the arrow pointing up with the cross. And you have water here with the arrow pointing down. And air over there with the arrow pointing down with the cross. Now, if you imagine putting them all together, they create the Star of David. It's all the four elements coming together to create the fifth element, right? So these are things I'm holding in my head. I'm either to keep my sanity or to keep it in its current state. But I needed to figure out, I knew that there was a place for everything to come together. I just didn't know how it would happen. And my world is all about patterns, patterns of connections. We're all pattern matchers by nature. But I spend maybe for some an inordinate amount of time in other worlds. It's part of my profession, but that's just a cop-out. It's an excuse. It's a place I come from, that we all come from. I feel more comfortable there. And I'm learning to be here on this planet. I'm learning to operate as a human. I dress more appropriately now. And I can slow my speech down to not overwhelm. And so I have found my ways of accommodating and assimilating into the world. Yet, this to me is a world that I wish were a little more prevalent. This field effect, this Lynn McTaggart talks about, right? There's something happening in the field. When we're tapping into that. And this is getting in more into the field of what brings us together. And I think it's a very important notion because especially in our society, we are reaching the end of the individualistic mindset. We are reaching the icon of its degradation. I should not go further. So it's our ability to see patterns that guide us into emerging fields of potential, right? And this is listening to what's coming, listening how to drop in, out of the head into the heart, to drop in to listen to what's coming. It won't happen when we're thinking about how we're going to get more clients or how we're going to do this or that or how we're going to pay the bills and all this stuff. All that stuff is there. But there's something that's asking us to get a bit more real, even more real, I should say, out of honor for all you very real people, to get a little bit more real about what will it take for us to come together in a way that makes exponential difference. As they say, if you want to bring peace, you have to organize as well as those who create war, because they're very well organized. And in fact, a lot of their new adaptive strategies are based in spiral models because it's an adaptive strategy, and it's the underpinning of my model, which I won't bore you with because I found out it isn't always something that is easily taken in. So this is the model that I came out with from that big dream I had, right? I'm in the middle of this dream, and I'm having this incredible experience, and it's very euphoric, and it's very transcendental. And it was a salve at that time of this pending dark night of the soul. And it felt really good. But I started to notice that there were different people looking in different facets of the same crystal reality. And as I went to peer into each one of them individually, there were some striking things that I found. First, they were all beautiful. They were all coherent. They were all cogent. They made sense. They were complete. And they were something I'd never seen before. However, when I pulled out of it, right, and I go to this other developmentalist and I'm looking in through his window, it's also complete and cogent and straightforward in some ways because it is all there. It's a whole on. And I kept doing that. I kept going around. And I felt afterwards it was sort of like the blind men touching different parts of the same elephant and coming up with different ideas. But there was this idea in psychology that says necessary, yes. Sufficient, no. So I'm looking through and seeing all these developmentalists and all these different ways of approaching reality. They were all beautiful, yet none of them were the complete picture. And that did not take away their specialness. That did not take away their beauty, their perfection, and their truth. Still, there is this meta impulse, right, for us to look at emerging patterns like pixel points again. And what is it that flows between us? What is it from all of our different approaches that flows between us? Especially even in tapping, energy healing, there's still such a wide variance. How do we find that common ground to come together and hold our place in it, our genius, the place we love dearly, in a way that honors our own uniqueness while also recognizing the sacred relativity of what we're doing and what we're bringing within a whole? How do we begin to get out of this competitive mindset, this individualistic mindset? I think is where our culture is going. I very strongly believe this. The field theory you're looking at, all the quantum theories are coming around. Everything is speaking to something more than. And one of the things with this model is we're holding space for that. So simply put, we have fire, water, earth, and air. And you could see that it spirals into the center. Part of it is the coming together, the synthesis of the elements is very important to be able to recognize that our spiritual self and our emotional self are really sort of like, if you can imagine, the right brain, right? It's both the feminine and masculine parts of our right brain personality. They cannot be separated. Although we can think of them differently, they work together. One's very ego-oriented, very future-oriented. The other is very, what's beneath the surface? What's value here? What's my beliefs? What's Gaia speaking through this? The other is very Promethean. The other is definitely very connected to a wisdom that we say is decidedly feminine, a grounded earth experience nature that looks at what's the big dream behind these fiery impulses. So there's a place for everything that we go through. And alchemy, they say, this is calcinatio. This is taking a big idea and burning it off, taking this Icarus-like path to burn away all of the impurities in you, in your ego, that can release the vision inside of you in a more pure way. So alchemy is a psycho-spiritual process, right? First phase is, what fires you up? What is your big vision? A lot of my clients come in, that is why they're coming in, because they don't have that vision. They're in an existential tailspin or a nihilistic cave somewhere. And a lot of the work for me is based in shadow work, but a lot of my work is simply reminding them of who they are. I work with their guides. I work with different survey results. I have a lot of different, like you guys, a lot of different measures to see who they are, learn about them, mostly through their spirit guides. But when I reflect that back as a sacred mirror to them, all of a sudden they come out of a slump and sit up and say, yes. And so that fire is really important. Now, that fire can go to hyperinflation, right? Easy. It's like, oh my God, I can heal. I've never been there. But this is a sacred pathway. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And every element is an intelligence that's calling you in and saying, be with me. The fire realm is that fiery impulse. The water realm is that very feminine calling back into what nurtures you, what holds you, what was home for you when you were a little girl, what was fun for you when you were a little boy. Out of all that flashy creating creativity in the world, there's something emotionally beautiful underneath that, that says why. Why I'm here. Why I dare to do all this. Why you travel here. Why do we come together? There's a passion that surrounds us, that guides us, that fuels us. So the water realm really gets into that. And together the two can burn and wash away to get from the lead of a great idea but imperfect vessel to this gold of who you are and to get to this seed, this elixir. It's like, yeah, Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. All the journey, half of it is just to get to this elixir. Your personal elixir is really the only important elixir that you can bring into the world. And I'm convinced of that. And my goal is, with this program, is to help each individual that works with us find their individual goal by going through this very simple and ancient alchemical process. So we get to this gold, and in the earth realm is where you plant the seed, you germinate it, and it takes form. Earth realm people, thank you. Earth realm people are very good people to have around you for people like us. Well, I say like us. How many of you are not earth people necessarily? Grounded, well organized? Okay, well, I'll take my small group. Well, I'm very fiery and very watery, but I am challenged. I have to create processes for grounding my work. Is that me?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. It's my phone saying you need to speed up. So we all have our place in this, right? The earth types are my software engineer who's creating this as a organizational tool like Evernote for the soul. It's coming out in July. I'm so excited. We have web designers. We have Emily, who's my assistant. God bless her. It takes a village, right? It takes all of us to come together. And when you start to see that the air realm people, they're very cognitively oriented, but they're also about relationships, about communication. These guys say, great idea, let's go into it deeper, let's go higher with it. These guys, let's go deep into it and see what's the humanism in this and what's the inner dreams, the shamanic underpinnings of this. And these guys say, well, that's nice, but let's look at how you're actually going to make this happen, right? Great, great, great vision. How are you going to turn that into a dissertation? So these people, everyone's really important. When you look at it, not only on a personal process, because we all go through this, we've got to go through this process to have a great idea, to see what's beneath it, to put it together, and then like a nice, beautiful plant coming out into the tree growing out of the earth, it comes out into the air and it is your gift to humanity. A lot of people, very fiery, is like, I just want to do it. Nike Air, just do it. I go from great idea to just doing it. And that's a lot of times where we have problems because there is a process to developing everything. So my goal has been for 20 years working with those with great ideas and helping them go through that process themselves, whether it's a healing practice or developing a new concept. I love the idea that so many ideas get lost unless there's somebody that cares enough to hold a person's vision with compassion and with some sense of courage, right? because it's all often too much for people. So the air around people, once you get it up into the world, they help you manage it. They help you understand how we have marketing people. Can't believe I have marketing people, but I have marketing people, and they're really good. And they're community builders, and they're very passionate about building community. And so for the first time in my life, I found that I've created something for myself and for others that can help them move through these elements together, to get to that fifth element, the ether element of the spirit in the center. Now here, I have a survey tool that I've created based on this. This is one of the tools that I have for myself and for the therapists who work with me, so that they can really start to understand how their client fits into this profile. And so you can see here, this person has a much more earth and some air, you know, more air than they do that emotional water and the creative fire. They have a sense of who they are, but they're not really expressing it very well, and they have some pretty good rituals and that sort of thing. They feel a little bit nurtured, but they don't really want to go deep and deal with the scorpionic, what do you call that? That would be the gauntlet. death and rebirth phase, right? And they're not really that keen on going too deep to tap into. They're not going to be doing an ayahuasca ceremony right away. But they do have a sense of who they are in the world and the gift they're bringing to the world, and they do believe they have a responsibility. And these are some of the strengths that I look at to understand them in a very visual way, how to work with them. I can work on these areas that can be opened up, but the areas that are already big, those are the points where I see their proficiency. So that's a vision of this program. I'll show you just a couple of other. There's another. Is that the same one? Okay. Here's another one. Oh, that's flipped. Whoa, that's a trip. How did that happen? Okay. Here's somebody with some really cool. I know who this is. But it's kind of pretty, isn't it? It's like a soul print, I call it. I don't know. He called me today, and he's like, what are we going to name this thing? I was like, okay. So this person has great rituals and great, they're spiritually evolved being, yet there is some issues around identifying with that and some creative issues. They don't feel quite as comfortable in the emotional realm, yet they do go really deep. And they go into these deep visionary states. They have great resources. They are really good interpersonally, but they're not so good in groups and not as great in codified systems and that sort of thing. So these are ways that I intuitively work with that. Here's somebody. That's a student I've been working with for a long time. And you can see that one of the goals of this, and it's cool, the survey is like, it's a state-driven, not trait-driven, so it changes pre-treatment, post-treatment. You can do pre-treatment surveys and post-treatment and see the shifts, and that's an induction point all its own. But you can see how, even here, there's a lot of inflated areas, but there's still this issue with dealing with others and wanting to get past that. So this is the entirety of the model. Each area has its purpose and its place in the process. I won't bore you with all of that, although I'd love to. And this is the process itself put in a linear format for those who are bothered by the spirals. But these are the steps. I mean, all of them make sense, right? And this is based in the hero's journey. Awaken to your calling, exploring your world, creating rituals, exploring your center, discovering inner truth, entering a state of flow, gathering resources, organizing a strategy, perfecting your approach, following a map, focused engagement, calling on all my relations, and then a refinement process. All of those seem clear, right? This is ancient alchemy. They've been doing this. We have been doing this for a very long time. And our goal is to bring it back and make it modern again. I think that's it. Okay, so anybody, the soullab.org. If you go there, We're building a big platform that'll be out in July, which is going to be the beginning of the organizational platform that allow you in each of these key areas to bring all your goodies together and share them with your clients. So solab.org, and if you leave your email information, I can send you more information. We have our first big group going on right now. We're in our second week. And that's kind of long, but I just got that from my engineer. If you wanted to take that survey that was there, it's available on this page. So thank you all. I appreciate your patience, and it's incredible you're here, and I hope we can go further with this. Yes. I love that idea. It's like Carol Pearson's work with archetypal. She sees the archetypal individual personalities, but she sees the personality of the group. I think that's a great idea. And these are things that we're looking for. We're bringing in, we have people from London, therapists from London to San Francisco right now in this group of 20. And really this process is about us. It's an operating system that allows you to bring your wisdom in, and it holds space for that so that that can spread in the repository of sharing that doesn't just disappear. So this is really about everyone bringing their wisdom, as you're saying, to continually make our work coming together an easier one. Thank you, guys. I'm done. I know, right? It's unusual.
So, we're going to now hear from a good friend, somebody who's been part of our community for a long time. As you know, when I want to call it curate, I suppose, these gatherings that we have, I always bring someone who is part of us, homegrown from the ground up, been here, stalwart supporter, as well as someone new to us like Kelly. And Kelly, thanks for joining us. It's my